We got Thursday Night Football that we're going to get you to in exactly 2 hours. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir, Napes.
Maybe not the most exciting matchup of the NFL season, but the one thing I've always said, and you know, if you knew what was going to happen, you wouldn't watch the games. Sometimes, you know, you can go to a game that starts at 1 in the afternoon and, you know, sit in the bleachers of a baseball game. Two bad teams, you got 10,000 people at the game, and someone ends up throwing a perfect game, and you remember it for the rest of your life. On paper, this does not look like the best game in the world, but, you know, again, you just got to see it. You got to see what happens. I do know this, the loser of tonight's game is in a lot of trouble.
I would say more Cincinnati if they aren't able to pull it out because of their division. Deshaun Watson, first start, short week on the road. Happy birthday, sore ankle. Yep. Save us, why don't you?
And the top three tight ends of Houston are out. Brian Cushing suspended.
Wow.
Marvin Lewis's job may already be on the line. If they come out and have a bad, and again, because this is such a disadvantage for the road team, plus everything that the Houston Texans have had to go through because of Hurricane Harvey and the, again, I don't want to say distraction, but for lack of a better term, as it pertains to sports, that's what it is. And I know in the real world it's not a distraction, it's a catastrophe, but for a football team, you know, dealing with that, I don't know how the Texans win this game tonight. I really don't.
You know, I thought that they were going to last week, Grant, come out and absolutely just open up a can of you-know-what. But, boy, oh, boy, they took a shellacking by the Jags last week because, you know, first game, rally the community, all those different things. This is going to be a tough one. I think both teams, if you look at Houston, allows 10 sacks last week. Savage gets sacked 6 times, and Watson gets sacked 4 times.
Yep.
That's one thing that they're definitely going to have to change.
You know, Texans at least appear to have a better defense, but I can't go with a rookie quarterback without the top three tight ends, with all the problems they're having. I can't see. And again, I wouldn't be shocked if the Texans win this game because I think Cincinnati stinks, but I'd be a little surprised. Let's put it that way.
Oh, no doubt. And if you are Cincinnati, you got to think, okay, you're going to have to make sure that you get the ball to A.J. Green, something that, you know, this is now you get Pac-Man Jones back. You obviously still don't have Burfict. So there are some things boding well for them. And I would say, as you mentioned at the top, Grant, out of the two of them, Houston in a weaker division could afford to lose this game and maybe still come back. Most teams at 0-2 don't do too much in the NFL during a season. There's been a few exceptions. But if you look at Houston and, I mean, Cincinnati, and they go down 0-2 in that division, boy, oh, boy, are they going to be in trouble.
All right, you've got NBA training camp is going to be opening for the Sacramento Kings in less than 2 weeks. And I'm sure you saw the news as it pertained to Zach Randolph. And now we have to wait and see what, if anything, is going to happen from the NBA's perspective.
So you mean cleared in the legal sense of things? Everything is final.
They did a plea bargain. Okay. You know, for the people that did not hear, Randolph cuts a plea. All right, for community service. I think, what did I read? 150 hours of community service.
125, 150, or something like that. Yeah.
And again, the reports were that he struck a deal with the prosecutors to plead no contest. To a misdemeanor resisting arrest. In exchange, the marijuana charge was tossed completely. Now, I'm not going to get into a pissing match here, okay? I'm just not.
I drank too much water, by the way, so you don't want to do
that.
Well,
you know me. I do. That's all I drink now. But the attorney for Zach Randolph and his statement was embarrassing. All right, don't insult our intelligence. And I understand that you are working in the best interest of your client, and I appreciate that. But your statement was an embarrassment. It was embarrassing. It was an absolutely embarrassing. Do I think that this is going to have an impact on Zach Randolph? No. Have I heard any negative things about Zach Randolph in his days with Memphis? I'm talking about his community involvement, his basketball.
Yep.
No, he's been A+ across the board. Do I think this is a big deal, what happened down in L.A.? No. I said that at the time, and I still say it here today on, what is it, the 15th or 14th, whatever the day is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they reached a plea. He'll do his service. I would say, based on what I read from the court proceedings, I'm just going to say this. I think it's unlikely that the NBA will suspend Zach Randolph.
I would think so too. If you're not doing anything on the legal side of things, this is probably going to go away from that standpoint. And now with the legalization of marijuana and a lot of different things, I would agree with you, Grant. I think that this is something. And to yep. I'm not sure exactly. I didn't read that. But from Zach's standpoint, they want it to go away. Get rid of it. Let's play ball.
Somebody didn't see the statement from Raymond Brothers, Zach's attorney. So for sake of disclosure, I'll read it.
Okay.
Quote, as we have said from the beginning, the reports regarding Zach Randolph are false and misleading. After being accused of marijuana possession, all charges have been dropped. He was never arrested with any marijuana in or on his possession. He has been cited for delaying a police officer. It's defamatory. Basically, what he's saying is his client's being defamed. Is that the correct pronunciation when I say it in this term, defamatory, for someone to say anything to the contrary?
I believe so.
Okay. Come on. Stop it already, would you please? We get the fact that you plea bargained. We get the fact that the marijuana charges have been dropped. We get that. That doesn't mean that he didn't have marijuana. I mean, we're not idiots. We weren't born yesterday. Do not insult our intelligence, please. Okay? I understand that you are defending your client, and I respect the fact that your job is to do what's best for your client. But don't come out with that type of a statement. That insults our intelligence. Stop it already with that.
Do you think there's any way that this story was spun? Because what he's trying to say, I believe, Napes, is it was reported incorrectly that maybe he didn't have it, but someone else did, but he's involved in the... Is that...
I'm not even going to speculate on what may or may not have occurred. I'm going by he was arrested initially, mm-hmm. okay? And according to the police report, which is public record, it states very clearly what he was arrested for. They plea bargained, okay, to get the marijuana charge dropped. If he didn't have any marijuana on him, there would be nothing to plea bargain.
Touche. Like I tell you
something. I mean, I'm not an attorney,
right.
But I'm not stupid, all right? Well, actually, a lot of people do think I'm stupid. And I can't really fault you if you think I'm stupid. I mean, you should hear what I call myself. People go, gee, you're rude on the radio. You call people idiots and morons. You know, go spend a day with me and see what I call myself. What do I call myself on the golf course?
Oh, boy.
Right?
I can't repeat on the air.
Right. I call myself many things that are much worse than I call some of my callers. Would you agree?
Easily.
I mean, it's not even a contest, right?
Sometimes I look at you and go, be nice to yourself.
But again, here's I get back to the bottom line here. Zach Randolph, from what I understand, if he stays out of trouble for 12 months, the resisting arrest charge would also be taken off his record.
And I don't see that as a problem.
I don't either.
Early, young Zach in Portland had some issues. Since then, he has been an absolute model citizen, yep. with the exception of this one blip.
I've said this before. I said it before the arrest. I've said it after. I'm a big fan of Zach Randolph. I was a big fan of his for the way he took his career mm-hmm. from Portland. And then after going to Memphis from New York, and how he became basically a favorite citizen, resident in the city of Memphis, not just for the Grizzlies, but the city, I have a lot of respect for Zach. And I've said that easily. I said that when they signed him. I'm a big fan of Zach Randolph. This does not change my opinion of Zach Randolph. I'm a big fan of his. I think he is going to be a real positive aspect for the franchise based on talking with Dave Yeager and the assistant coaches who coach Zach, I have a lot of respect for the Kings coaching staff. They've told me things privately where I'm like, wow. You know, I have a lot of respect for Zach Randolph.
No doubt. And the Kings fans are going to love him if he does, and I know he will. Anything like what I saw down at the gym the other day, that old man game is ripe and popping and ready to deliver for Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings Media Day is a week from Monday.
Wow.
And then on the next day, they will start practice and getting ready for, the start of the season with their first preseason game on October 2nd. The Kings, by the way, have unveiled their alternate court with the Lion,
mm-hmm.
At center court with the key in black. The Lion in black, the border is gray. It's a good look.
Yeah.
Looks really nice.
I love that. The Lion is the first time that I saw it. Vivek had it on a long sleeve, nice shirt, and I was just like, oh, man, that is nice. And he was the only one at the time with it. So to bring that over to the court side, I think it's a good look. I dig it.
Yeah, it's a very good-looking court. When I first saw it, I was like, wow, that's sharp.
Yeah. I think it's a different look as well.
I would like to find out why they use black as opposed to King's purple. But I think, again, I'm not saying it doesn't look good, but that's the first thing I saw. I think it's a sharp-looking court. And, again, maybe the Kings, when they play on that court, will be wearing black uniforms with the gray trim.
That sounds really sharp right
there. But what I'm saying, that's a good look.
Yes, it is. I dig the black. Black was my favorite when we were playing, and the dark purple. Now, I like that we talked about this. The dark purple over this lighter purple,
yeah.
Those are two different things. I like the dark purple myself.
Yeah, I did too. And maybe it's just because we're not used to the light purple.
This is true.
But I hope that the light purple just stays because I just bought a whole bunch of ties that are the same color as the new purple. So, what I mean?
You don't have to match totally, Napes. It's all good.
It's okay.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Maybe you can get me a bow tie with that color.
By all means, I'll have one for you. Now, don't put it in the back of your closet.
Well,
don't use it as a shoe buffer or any stupid thing like that. You got to wear it once.
All right.
That wasn't a strong
I'll wear
yes.
it when you're with me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
And if someone asks me why I'm wearing a bow tie, I'll say I lost a bet. I'll just say, hey, you know what? I lost a bet.
That's cold-blooded, man.
No, I'm just telling you.
The problem is I know you, and you would say that. So
absolutely.
All good, man.
So, again, we've got NBA. The Warriors start in a couple of days because they're playing over in the China Games.
Yes.
And for the Kings, they start a week from Tuesday with Media Day a week from Monday. And then, again, the schedule comes at you fast and furious this year. Maybe not furious because the games are so spread out.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, the Kings open up on October 18th. And so, before you know it, we are going to be talking about opening night, which is at home against the Houston Rockets.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I mean, the signal, obviously, of football season tells you you're real close, but now we're talking about media day. I got a call. There's going to be, you do the preview show up at NBC, so there's going to be a lot of stuff going basketball-wise as we start to get this thing going.
Yeah, and again, I have gotten some more clarity. The court that I was just talking about, mm-hmm. that's when they will wear their black alternate uniforms.
Oh, man, that's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
home. They're going to have three different home courts this year. They're going to have their basic purple court, all right, when they have their white or purple uniforms.
Okay.
And then the black alternate court with their black alternate uniforms. And then I guess they're going to unveil a third, which, again, very cool.
Flashback, maybe?
Yeah, it could very well be.
Yeah, there you go.
I think this is neat.
Yeah.
You have a brand new arena. You have a new start. You have a fresh team. I like this. I think this is a really neat deal.
Yeah.
I think fans are going to eat this up.
Oh, no doubt. And marketing wise, there's so many different ways that
absolutely.
You can roll with it. So yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. I saw it and I just went, man, I dig that because I like the Lion. I think that's cool.
I'm so excited for this season. Because of the growth that is going to start taking place. And we saw it in the final 25 games last year. I know that you have had a chance to go to the practice facility.
Yeah.
With all the players that have been working out. I had a chance the week before last to take in. And I just, it's just, you know what? I guess it's the vibe. You know what I mean? I love
that's
the vibe.
That's a good word. That's a good word, because watching Coach Yeager deal with the young guys, I was just like, yeah. You know, he has it. He knows exactly what he's walking, bang, 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 he says. And then to watch how they respond to him and they played, you know, he's like, okay, let's get after it. Let's play hard. And they, boy, they were just getting after it. And first things first, let's play hard.
Well, and here's the other part. Players don't have to be here now. They're all here voluntarily.
Oh, yes,
they're not being forced to come here. They don't have to be here.
No.
They're here on their own accord. They're you know, and again, the coaches sit down in the chairs and they watch these guys scrimmage and they watch them work out. And it's fabulous to watch the process. But again, all the guys that are here, all the first-year players, all the second-year players, Willie is here. They're here because they want to be here.
Yeah, this is some – when we were playing, Grant, rarely did you get 10 guys. You know, you might get a couple. Yeah. We could play 2-on-2, 3-on-3. But it's a gym full of hoopers, and it is absolutely to just sit with the coaches and watch them watch the play. It's awesome, man.
Yep. All right. If you want to get in on the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. All right, I'm going to get this out of the way because to his credit, Stanley called yesterday, but because of our topic,
Stanley,
I didn't want to. So I'm going to let him pop off for a couple of minutes, and then we'll move on. Stanley, you're on. Stanley, I owned up to yesterday. I said I couldn't take you yesterday. I said if you called back today, I would put you on with no wait time. So is that satisfactory in your opinion?
Grant, that is excellent. And you know what? I feel kind of bad for Mr. Christie over there, because in your stead, while you were gone, I told him what was going to happen, but he was sitting there taking that butt whipping for you. Am I allowed to use that word on the air?
You already did, Stanley. It's all good.
Butt whipping on the air is good. You can say that. That's not going to get a fine for CBS.
Well, I mean, you know, so you never can tell, like you said. I mean, things have to be PC these days, so I wouldn't call it that. Yeah, I just should have said a dismantling. I actually felt bad for your boy Eli, because he looked like a deer in the headlights in the second half, because he was back there running for his life. His receivers couldn't hold the ball, and don't even talk about a running game. The only person who was running was Eli, and he was running around behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you really like this, don't you, Stanley?
Oh, man, I love it.
Well, he hasn't had a chance to call and brag about the Cowboys beating the Giants in like a freaking 2 years. So, yeah, I'm going to let him go off.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know I'm right.
Well, Grant, I just wonder, are you going to seek a new coach after this year?
No, we're going to get a new general manager who understands the importance of an offensive line, which he's ignored for several years.
Well, we got the best offensive line. You want to borrow some of ours?
You know what? I would love to borrow some of your guys. Can I take Zach Martin?
Well, if you got the right kind of money and you talk to Mr. Jerry Jones real nicely.
Look at you, Stanley. I like it.
Eli wasn't horrible. He was 29 of 38, but he had 2 seconds to throw the ball. As you said, the Giants had absolutely zero running game. No running game at all. Zero.
Hey, Stanley, the Giants, they looked a little bit like my Seahawks. I will have to fess up to that. We didn't look too good either, my friend.
Yes, and the thing about it, Mr. Christie, we all know that your quarterback can actually move. I mean, it's unlike Eli. I mean,
right.
Eli is a stationary target.
Right.
He's got nowhere to go. But Russell Wilson, he's supposed to be mobile and everything, and he couldn't do anything.
Hey, you can't if you don't. See, luckily, Stanley, that's why you're able to talk, because you happen to have the best offensive line in football. So you can sit here and you can gloat and all those things, but it's early, Stanley. Remember that. It's early.
And see, that's the thing about it. Remember the 90s? We had the best offensive line then.
This is
The 90s. It's freaking 2017. What are we talking about the 90s for? Doug Christie wasn't even on the Kings yet in the 90s.
Yes, but that's okay, Grant, because that D10 bulldozer is coming right through, Grant.
Right.
It's updated, and it's got a computer in it this time, and this D10 is moving right through
Stanley,
here.
Stanley.
And if you
Stanley.
Get in the way, Grant, we'll uproot you too. It's an Eli Manning file now. And don't worry, I got. In your stead, Grant, I was telling him, which I do. I got the personal phone number of Nick the Quick Van Exel.
Oh, so my God.
What's that going to do? What's it going to do? You know what? Nick is a good friend of mine. He was my rookie in Los Angeles. Yes, you ask him. If you got his number, Stanley, you call him and ask him.
I know one thing. He's not picking up your call.
We barely picked up your call. Nick's not answering the phone for you.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know you won't answer when he comes around there and smokes you, but that's all right.
Yeah, he took a spanking and went home when he was in Dallas. When I see him, I'll talk to him about that.
Okay.
All right, Stanley. You take it easy and get ready for that big matchup that the Hurricanes have with Toledo coming up a week from Saturday. I'm really worried about that. After the opening game against Bethune-Cookman, which I've never heard of, you know, and how Bethune-Cookman scored 13 points against Miami is beyond me. That they ought to be an investigation to that.
Grant, talk to me at the end of the year.
I will talk to you at the end of the year. You know what? Hopefully you'll play somebody between now and then.
Well, you want to get up there and play them.
I'll tell you right now, I'd be a hell of a lot more of a competition than Bethune-Cookman, I can guarantee you that. Or, you know, the Arkansas State game was canceled because of the hurricane. That's a tough matchup, too. But, and now they got a bye week to get ready for Toledo. I don't know, boy. I don't know if 2 weeks is enough time to get ready for Toledo.
Grant, have you looked at some of the schools, these Southeastern Conference schools?
I'm looking at your schedule. What a disgrace.
Let's see. It's going to be some disgrace, and not just on the little kids.
Yeah, you're at Duke. Yeah, you're at Duke after Toledo.
You guys might go 11-1, but who did you play,
Duke,
Stanley?
ACC conference, folks, Grant.
Stanley, I got to go. See you, man.
Take care.
Bethune-Cookman. Come on.
Come on, Grant. They put up 13 points against
them? Yeah.
Actually, that means they got in the end zone.
How about that?
We were talking
twice.
About. Yeah.
Well, I think
or,
twice.
Or maybe two,
that
two field goals. Nonetheless, they were moving the football. Stanley should not be proud about that. The Hurricane should not be proud about that. Everybody from the U should not be proud about that.
No. All right. If you want to call the show, the number is 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Stanley called yesterday when we were talking about, I'm not even going to say the words because I don't want to start that again today. But and so I had Chris. I said, "Hey, tell that nitwit that to call back today, and I'll put him on immediately." So that's what I did.
Be nice, Grant.
I am being nice.
Yeah, you know what? Calling him a nitwit, I guess, is being nice. Well done, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We'll get him a bow tie too. All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports. I wouldn't do that to you, Doug. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier. Doug Christie?
Yes, sir. It is 3:31. Time to go see the return of Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com.
All right, let's get to Paul. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Grant. Hi, Doug. I was looking at the odds for the season wins for the NBA,
yep.
And I see that the over-under for the Sacramento Kings is 27.5.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
Do you think they'll go over or under 27.5?
I need to see them play in the preseason, and then I'll tell you. But I think that number is about accurate. I would have made it about 27, 28 myself.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
I think they could probably get a few more, Grant, but you're right. It's going to be up to the schedule.
The West is so much stronger.
And if you're going to play 41 of your games in the Western Conference, that's going to be tough. You'll get a few. Where you're going to clean up and if you really gain some traction is going to be against the Eastern Conference.
I just think you cannot ignore the youth of this team, right? And you've been there, so you know it better than I do.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, so you got to temper your enthusiasm for this year, in my opinion. What I mean, maybe not temper your enthusiasm. Let me change that word around. Temper your expectations.
Yes, unless when the youth hits the court, if it translates to wins, meaning if they play a really good style of basketball, move the ball, understand what Coach Yeager wants, and then you guys start falling into their roles. You got a score, you got a post player, you got things that you need, and you're hitting the three-pointers at a high clip because that's what you're going to need to compete in the Western Conference. Well, now all of a sudden maybe we can reassess that. But I think they get a few more than 27, but I understand what they're saying because you don't really know what you got when you got 12 rookie or 8-9 rookies, whatever it is. You got a lot of young players.
All right, let's get to Mitch. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, let me get you a speakerphone. How we doing?
What's up?
Nice talk to you guys. This baseball race has been like a tale of two cities. I don't think the Dodgers be lucky to get past the first round, and I always toot my horn about the World Series not too long ago. But Cleveland, I don't think they're going to be missing LeBron once he leaves because Cleveland looks unbeatable. I've never seen a team that's really put things together, even if the Dodgers do get to the World Series.
Well, Mitch, I don't know because if you rewound, and Grant said this yesterday, if you rewound everything maybe 3 weeks ago, we would be having the same conversation, but it would be in reverse because the Indians coming off of Game 7, we were thinking coming into the season this year, they would be playing like they're playing right this minute. And the Dodgers, they were playing so good a couple weeks ago that we would be saying they look unbeatable because they were winning games late, they were coming back, they were getting the hits, they were getting pitching, and now the tides have turned.
Yeah, I mean, they had the money to keep Greinke, and I guess you could say the trade they should have made was J.D. Martinez for Arizona. Instead of getting these two relievers, they didn't seem to be able to stop anybody. They had J.D. Martinez playing left field. Don't just play center? No, they have a good center field in Chris Taylor. Left first, because I think Adrian Gonzalez is washed out.
JD Martinez is making everyone in Arizona look like geniuses is what he's
very
doing.
True. Yep.
He is cranking on the ball, Grant. And, I mean, that's what he was doing before he was traded. But a lot of times it doesn't translate. And for him, boy, oh, boy, he's been a savior.
You think?
Yeah. Goodness gracious. And, I mean, he is crushing it, man. So if you had the foresight to see that, yeah, great. Greinke took the money. That's what he did.
I don't blame him.
I don't either.
Right.
And how about last year they weren't that good, and then all of a sudden things started turning around. So now it looks like a good deal for Arizona.
It does look like a good deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as the Dodgers and their recent struggles, I mean, we said this before they went on this tailspin. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be judged by how many games they win in the regular season.
Nope.
They're going to be judged on what they do starting in October.
And the same with their pitcher, Kershaw.
That's correct.
He can go 18-1. He can get 21 wins during the regular season. And Cy Young, he can do it all. But when it comes to the playoffs, that's where everyone wants to see him deliver.
Remember, Lincoln Kennedy is going to be coming on at 4:30. Let's get to Darren. Hello, Darren. How are you?
How's it going, guys? Hey, I got a question for both you guys. What teams should we watch out for in the NBA West and the East that everyone's overlooking and would say, wow, where'd they come from out of nowhere? You know, is there somebody on the uprise you guys think this is the year that they make the next step?
Well, you know, Darren, in the Eastern Conference, just off the top of my head, I would probably go with the Milwaukee Bucks. I think Jason Kidd does a good job at coaching them.
And Antetokounmpo is amazing.
Yeah, and he may take that next step. And if he takes that next step, they have enough, you know, they have some nice pieces around him that might be able to facilitate them maybe making, you know, a nice run, Darren.
Okay. What about out of the West? I mean, the West is so tough. But there's a team that's like fighting for that last playoff spot, and you're like, wow, I didn't expect them to get in, and they got in.
That's a great question because because I think Minnesota's going to be a playoff team this year. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they're not. I'll tell you a team that I think people are overvaluing, Denver.
Oh,
they don't
God.
Have a point guard.
I don't know how they ranked them at like 40 wins, 37 wins. I'm like, what? I don't see, and they didn't improve shooting, and they were one of the last three-point shooting teams in the NBA last year.
You know, Brian, I got to tell you, a team, and again, they're going to be in the playoffs, a team that could be a plus 10 or minus 10, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's where I was going to.
Oh, you were?
Yes, I totally agree, because the combination of Westbrook and
Paul George,
Paul George you don't know what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
But it could be prolific. They got nice
Same
pieces
thing with
around
Houston.
Them. Yeah.
I don't know how that's all going to gel.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm seeing on Instagram that Chris Paul and Harden are playing together all over the place.
Are
so they're in New York playing. They're in L.A. playing. So they're playing together. So they're trying to figure out that synergy. So to Darren's point, I'm not really sure. But OKC is an interesting one.
Brian, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Fellas, how are we doing today?
How are you?
I'm great. Hey, real fast, before I ask my Zach Randolph question, I just wanted to tell Doug I was listening to you guys yesterday on the Wingstop soundstage thing, man. You guys gave me chills listening to all four of you guys together again.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. Always great times, man. The stories, we try to tell as many as we can tell as Grant knows because we can't tell them all.
No, you can't.
I loved it, man. It was classic. Anyway, real fast, I just had a quick question. Maybe you guys touched on it. I was switching cars. Does anybody know, did Zach Randolph had a cannabis card or anything like that? Was he legal or anything like that?
I have no idea. According to his attorney, he didn't have marijuana on him at the time of the arrest. Which, you know, if that's true, I don't know what you would have been plea bargaining.
Right. As far as a card, I have no idea. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just wondering if maybe he was legal and that's how he got off. I wasn't sure.
You got it. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to Will. Hello, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's happening?
Just a quick aside. He could have been plea bargaining because he carries or something like that, too. I mean, a lot of those guys carry a weapon to protect themselves or their bodyguard does. So could have been anything. Who knows? Unless it's done, that's what's important. So here's the thing, and I'll give you my thoughts here. I see a couple things with Oklahoma City and Houston in the playoff picture this year.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think Houston is set to take a fall on their face for two reasons. Number one, they way overachieved last year based solely on Harden more than anything else. And number two, despite his talent, Chris Paul just seems to not have, for some reason, things don't work out wherever he goes. There's some kind of a personality clash conflict that comes in, and you've got two alphas there that I don't know how they're going to manage to share the ball. And with Oklahoma City, I actually see them in adding Paul George as better than they were with Durant because Paul George is a better defender. And he gives you just about as much offense. What's your thoughts on that?
That's I think, Will, kind of where Grant and I were going with Paul George going there, because you know what you're going to get from Westbrook. And then you got some nice pieces that you add with him. You know, you got screeners, you got defenders, you got different pieces that they've added. Now, he obviously in Paul George isn't Kevin Durant, but I agree with you. You may get about the same numbers, maybe a little bit less, but you're going
right.
to get about the same.
Yeah.
And then you got someone who can facilitate, do a lot of different things, and another really, really solid defender. So that's why I think Grant and I are a little bit bullish on them. I agree with you on the
– And they didn't lose any size. I mean,
no, not at all.
The same size they had 2 years ago when they ran the Warriors, you know, all the way up.
Yes.
So – Yeah, that's big. But I just don't see it with Houston. Something about that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the initial Grant and I both, our initial reaction was we're going to have to wait and see because you made a valid point that last year what they did, whether you call it overachieving, whatever you want, the ball was in Harden's hands like 95% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And he facilitated everything. Well, now you're going to have to split that up a little bit. Now, what is that going to look like, Will, is the question.
Right, and the big question for me is you have two guys who always have to have the ball in their hands offensively, whether Paul drops his points per game numbers a little, increases his assists, James Harden produces because he has the ball in his hands constantly. I mean, he's the facilitation to me for him, I mean, he had almost as many turnovers as assists.
No question, so, he turns the ball over a lot, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and granted, even if you improve that, by having Chris Paul doing the handling, you're taking the ball out of Harden's hands, and that's what makes that team work. So,
and I've always thought, and Doug would know this better than I would, I think it's easier to deny a guy a ball when he doesn't have the ball.
No doubt. Yeah. Once you get rid of it,
right.
If I'm guarding you, you're going to work really hard to get it back.
That's my point. As opposed to Harden having the ball, bringing the ball up, that's a whole different scenario.
It absolutely is. That's a great point.
I kind of look back like, Doug, when you guys played, I always talk to people like this. You were really, to me, the facilitator on the team. You were really the point guard more than Mike, because Mike was more of a scorer. You could do everything. And you could see over people to distribute.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
A better distributor than he was, to be honest with you. But Yeah, that's the problem. Harden's not that. He's real. That's not his nature. Yes, he did well with it last year in a forced situation with no real point guard, that, you know, offensively. But again, you got a guy that's that dominant, has to have. It's like LeBron has to have the ball in his hands. Let's face facts.
Hey,
it doesn't matter who you put on that team at the point.
We got to roll. Thank you so much for the call. We'll be right back.
It is 3:49. Time to go and see the return of Pro Rodeo to Marysville this Saturday and Sunday. For ticket info, go to MarysvilleStampede.com.
Just think, when you get done, whenever we hang it up,
right?
You'll know as much about travel as I will,
oh,
don't you think?
Look, right? I already have a list of places I need to go.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? I have a list of carriers that I'm going to use.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look, yeah, I know more about air travel, and you fly with us all the time. I've flown probably more than most normal people.
Yes.
But I didn't learn about it until I got to hang around you.
I was just telling Doug, actually, I was off by a couple dollars. It's $184.
Oh.
It's $184.90.
Okay, you're off now, by $6.
Or if you want to go in premium class, which is their version of business, which has a lot of distance between you and the seat in front of you. It's $589.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's the Big Daddy too, right? You said a luxury liner?
Dreamliner. Dreamliners are very nice. They're among the newest aircraft from Boeing.
And I'm going from where to where?
Well, you can go from Oakland to London. You can go from Oakland to Paris. You can go from L.A. to Barcelona. You can go L.A. to Paris,
oh,
L.A.
Wee
Barcelona.
Wee.
You go L.A. Oslo, Norway. You can go, you can go a lot of different places.
Oh, man. It's exciting, Grant. I need to know these things.
I
appreciate you telling me.
Keep your passport handy, my man.
But the problem is,
not sending you to North Korea. Don't worry about that.
Well, hell with that. Been there, did that one, Grant.
When you get to your destination, they're not going to confiscate your
hell
passport.
No. That's the most uncomfortable feeling in the world.
I can't even imagine.
No,
I really cannot even imagine.
The stories I've told you, just
I know.
Know that it's real as it gets, my friend. You're going to be like, where's Waldo? Where's Doug? You're going to be, he's not in today? What? How many vacation days does this guy got?
Well, you can just go for the weekend.
There you, wow. Just think of that. There and back for $1,000 roughly.
Yep.
I'm not going.
Well, if you wanted to go and coach, you can go back and forth for like $350.
No. I'm not doing coach. I'm allergic to coach.
I got you. I just flew coach for 18 hours. It's like, I'm not going to lie. It was very inexpensive, and I did it. And
No doubt.
It's grueling.
By yourself.
When I say it's grueling, I mean, let me take that back. It's not grueling, but grueling's not the right word. I take that back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But see, like, you go by yourself.
Right.
And I'm going to use this word, and I don't mean to.
Yeah.
You can suffer, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mean,
it's not
you're
suffering.
Only worrying about yourself. You're not worrying about anybody else.
Baby, are you okay?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, when I travel with my wife, I mean, you know, she could sit in a bread box. You know, she's so tiny. You know what I mean? What?
Oh, Star. Oh, boy. Yeah, but you're right. She could be. You know what? To her, like, coach is a big seat. She's comfortable. Totally. Now, you're a little bit tighter.
Yeah, it's a little different,
now,
right?
You move up to premium economy. Well, for you, you're okay. She's living large. First class for her. Like, you showed me that Emirates picture.
Oh, boy.
It looked like
Singapore Airlines.
You could have sat beside her if you wanted to.
I know. I could have.
That seat was so big.
Yeah, right.
Woo!
Yeah. I got you. All right. I don't know how we got off on that. That's my fault, by the way. I told Doug something during the commercial break, and he got all excited.
Apologize, man. I like to hear stuff. I like to travel.
So, you know, for the 550, the distance between your seat and the seat in front of you would be 46 inches. Whereas if you fly on, like, say, Southwest Airlines, and I'm just trying to give you a comparison,
It's
normally 31 to 32 inches. So, I mean, that's a huge difference.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
it's,
you can, you know.
Yeah, that's like.
I just want you to be comfortable when you go places.
Oh, no doubt.
How tall are you?
6'7".
6'7".
Yeah. So.
All right.
I need that extra space.
Yes,
46
you do.
Inches. Man, sound like my vertical back in the
day. Yeah, right.
Not so much now, Nate. I'm on ground patrol now.
Yeah. I just did 17 and a half hours in coach, and you know what?
Did you get an aisle seat?
I did.
You're a smart man.
Yes, I did.
See, if you're going to go, if I'm going coach, I need.
Yeah, you got, because I got up and walked around quite a bit.
Exactly. Right. And I don't want to say, excuse me, or yeah, you're sleeping, or yeah, none of that. Yeah. I just want to get up and go.
All right, let's get to AC. What's up, AC?
Hey, here's some more travel tips for you, Doug.
Okay, fire away, AC.
So I just got back from Hawaii. I told you guys I was going to Kapalua, right?
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was awesome, and Mr. Christie, you need to put that on your list of places to play golf.
I've actually been there. It is incredible.
Hey, isn't the plantation course amazing?
Incredible.
Yeah, we got there the day before they aerated, and then we played the bay course, which I think the views are just as stunning, if not more so, than plantation. But plantation's a granddaddy.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, so my buddy who flew over with his wife, they decided they'd upgrade to premium seats, and they paid another $100. But what they don't tell you is that the baby could still be behind it in the seat behind it. So even though they paid extra and had a little tiny bit extra leg room, he could still have a screaming baby behind it.
Hey, have you ever heard of Bose headsets?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, like the saying, American Express, don't leave home without it? My saying is, Bose headsets, don't leave home without it. I will not go anywhere. I will not step out of my freaking house if I'm going somewhere without my Bose headsets.
Smart man. Right.
I should be doing commercials for Bose.
Well, you just did one.
You just did one. And then what Grant doesn't tell you about the aisle, Mr. Christie, also, because you flew, I'm sure, the private jet when you were with the Kings. But the aisle is okay unless you're trying to sleep. And then the waitress, the server attendant who's a little bit bigger than the aisle bumps you while you're sleeping. Then it's not
Let me tell you something. When you fly on the airlines that I fly on, you don't have to worry about that because the flight attendants aren't 400 pounds, all right? So it's not an issue, all right? When you fly the way I fly, it's not an issue.
Look what you started.
You don't have
to
worry about getting bumped into by the flight attendants. All right? You don't have Quasimodo walking down the freaking aisles.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you're darn right. So
AAC, or I take the window seat so I can sleep.
So let me just make sure we have an understanding. That doesn't happen, all right?
So did you hear that Mr. Christie was on the morning show this morning?
No. Oh, my God. That was yesterday that we did that with Paige and Vlade and Bobby.
Oh, hey.
Right, but did you hear today?
No.
They had a contest. Carmichael Dave had a contest to see who could guess who Tight Jeans was. Right?
Oh, that would be Paige.
Yeah.
And, right, it was Paige, and I knew that, too. But the caller calls in and says, Doug Christie.
Ah, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, AC, we got to go. We're up against the break. Yeah, thanks for the call. Good chat. We'll be right back. Second hour straight ahead.